meeting to order. Present are Senator Ellis, Senator Stebbin, Senator Machicki, Senator Dunleavy. We have a quorum. And once again, remember to turn off your phones, please. We're going to hear two bills today, SB 37 and SB 23. SB 37 is sponsored by Senator Faircloth. It's an act relating to the termination date of the statewide suicide council. Senator Faircloth, would you like to come forward, or your staff, and introduce the bill, talk about the bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Anna Faircloth, representing East Anchorage and Eagle River.
Thank you.
The Statewide Suicide Prevention Council was originally created in 2001. Since that time, there's been numerous changes. Over the last 4 years, the legislature has added different voices to the council, which has been of great benefit. They have also created a strategic plan in the 4 years that I've served on the council that actually is trying to pull people together and look at this issue that's plaguing both rural and urban Alaska. The bill before you proposes to extend the council to the maximum length, 6 years, to 2019. I'm here in support of that. Senator Ellis and myself as a representative, and Representative Gardner and Senator Dyson all served in previous years on the council, and I would wait for Kate to come forward. I know that you know the numbers. I don't want to take too much of the committee's time, but it truly is a plague that ripples into communities, into schools, and certainly families carry the burden of the loss of a loved one for years, if not decades, to come. And Alaska, as you know, has the unfortunate distinction for many years of being number one in our nation for suicide. Suicide's preventable, and I believe that the council should be extended to 2019, but leave that to your good judgment.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Senator Faircloth or members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you. Next, we have, is there any public testimony at this point on the bill? Is there, please forward, come forward and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kate Burkhart, and I am the Executive Director of the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. And my comments today are to inform the committee of the council's progress on the recommendations made by legislative audit, and to speak to any questions to the fiscal note to SB 37. So the council appreciates the work of legislative audit last year. It was not only a good process to help inform the legislature about the council's work, but it led to some good quality improvement on the part of the council. So we are very grateful for the work that Stacey McDowell and her staff did to help us improve our work. So the recommendations of legislative audit started first with the council's coordinator, which technically I am the coordinator, even though my title is executive director. The council had not previously appointed or evaluated its executive director, and so legislative audit recommended steps to be taken to rectify that. The council did vote in approval of its co-location with the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, of which I'm also the executive director. So they've endorsed my serving the council. And they did participate with the executive committees of the Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse late last year to evaluate me, and I'm still here, so that went well. So that evaluation has been done, and we have established a process by which it will be done every year at my anniversary date in December. So that is taken care of. We're good with that. The legislative audit folks also recommended that the council memorialize its current leadership and resource sharing arrangement with the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse so that when the time comes and leadership changes, those practices stay in place to support the council. The council and the other two boards executed a memorandum of agreement early this year to memorialize how we do business and to reiterate the council's commitment to taking on as much responsibility for its financial needs as possible, given the budget it has now and in the future. Currently, much of the council's operations are supported by the other two boards. The third recommendation had to do with the council's performance measures. The council does have performance measures. They are most clearly articulated in the state plan, Casting the Net Upstream, which there are performance measures and indicators for every strategy. And we will be reporting on those in the implementation report, which should be due out in the next couple of weeks. We are working with the Department of Health and Social Services to have those translated into similar language for use by the Office of Management and Budget. So that recommendation, complying with that recommendation, is still in process, but we are working toward that. And we'll be able to report back in our language on the performance measures this month. And so with that, if there are questions about the fiscal note, I just wanted to point out, it looks like a large fiscal note, but $415,000 of that fiscal note every year goes directly, as close to July 1st as possible, to the Department of Education to support school-based suicide prevention. So that is not money the council uses. We try to get rid of it as quickly as possible so it gets implemented in the school districts. So take that into consideration when you look at that $664,000 amount.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the committee, for Ms. Burkhart? Seeing none, thank you. Is there any other public testimony at this time? Is there anyone online?
There is somebody, but I haven't gotten their information yet.
Okay. Just take a brief at ease. Senator Olson arrived at 1:35 for the meeting. Seeing no further public testimony at this point, is there a what's the will of the committee? Is there a motion to move the bill? Senator Michicki?
Well, I've got a comment first, Mr. Chairman. You know, the heartbreak of suicide is just one of those statistics in Alaska where we must stop being number one. And I've been involved peripherally as serving on a regional suicide prevention team, and I have to say that I appreciate the work of the council in providing hope for folks that previously had few places to turn. So if there are no other comments, I'd be willing to make a motion.
Thank you. Are there any comments from members of the board or questions from members of the board at this point? Seeing none, Senator Michicki.
I move Senate Bill 3728, version A, with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations to the next committee of referral.
Is there any objection to this motion? Seeing none, we'll pass this bill on to the next committee, and we'll take a quick break to We're back in session. At this point, we turn our attention to SB 23, and it's sponsored by Senate Rules at the request of the governor. It's an act relating to ADA, LNG project, and dividends. Mr. Leonard, would you like to come forward, state your name for the record, and we're going to talk about the bill?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Ted Leonard, and I am the executive director of ADA. I also, with the chair's approval, would like to take a few minutes just to go over the bill and then have Mark Davis, our deputy director of infrastructure, go over the technical aspects of the bill.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. This bill has three portions or parts of the bill. The first part of the bill continues to work on the partnership that ADA has had with the legislature and the administration in modernizing its tools. This bill would allow ADA to provide project financing to a project or a portion of a project which it does not intend to own. There are several times that it is better for ADA to actually have a role of a lender and not actually be an owner in the project for risk reasons. For example, a development resource project, it's much better sometimes to be a lender and not be part of an ownership structure. Also, we believe that having this ability will allow us to continue to move forward in our ability to look at ADA being the catalyst as a portion of development financing and ability to leverage more funds from the private sector. And again, Mark can go over the technical aspects of that in a few minutes. The second part of the bill is a response to changes that we've had with the Government Accounting Standard Board. Under GASB 63, they changed the definition of net position to a different term, so we would like to ensure that we continue to maximize the dividend by ensuring that that term is reflected in our statutes. And then also we're looking at, now that the legislators and the governor has given us two funds, that we would like to be able to have the ability to calculate dividends on each of those funds separately and then pay that to the legislature and the state of Alaska through the dividend and not have them netted. So again, it's to try to maximize the dividend to the state. And then the third part of the bill is the authority to allow ADA to participate in the, the financing and the development of the liquefaction plant and the distribution system with the goal of reducing cost in interior Alaska for ADA, for energy. And through that, ADA would be participating in the $355 million proposed governor's package in conjunction with the tools that we received in financing energy projects through SB 25. Pretty much that's in the synopsis of the bill, Chair, and I'd ask to invite Mark up to go through the technical aspects of it.
Are there any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Leonard?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Leonard, thank you very much for this abbreviated view. And maybe you're not the one to go ahead and ask this, but as you look at somebody that's lending money out there and you're not going to be owning it, what are you going to use for collateral for some of these great big projects that are worth millions, if not billions of dollars that are there?
Through the chair to Senator Olson. In project financing, you have really three separate components in mm-hmm. a financing. Usually you have the term loan, the first tier, and then you have the mezzanine tier, which is the second tier, and then you have equity. In these projects, that we believe that ADA has a best function and best position is in the mezzanine, where you can promote the banks to be involved in a project mm-hmm. and then still have equity. So the asset itself is the collateral and also the cash flows. So the collateral would be calculated through going through the deal structure. You know, if ADA owned it all, then of course we have the same collateral under a lending structure that mm-hmm. we would have if we owned the project. I mean, you're looking at the cash flows, you're looking at the project itself. But there are times, as Mark would go through, is that, for example, on the jackup rib, this is, I think, a very good structure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $55 million term loan through the overseas Chinese bank. Then there's a $23 million preferred ownership with ADA, and then approximately a $30 million equity investment with Buccaneer and ASEAN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the collateral for that is the rig itself, of course. It has about approximate value of $127 million. So if the worst-case scenario happened, where you had to dissolve the ownership and sell the rig, OCB would have the first collateral or first lien on the rig, which would they take the first $66
million. Mm-hmm.
Then ADA would take the second $23 million, and then ASEAN and Buccaneer, if there was anything left, would get whatever's left.
I see.
So what we're saying is that, for example, on the rig, and we were able to move forward with that project due to SB 300, which allowed us to be in a limited liability corporation, so we could protect our assets if anything happened. Of course, we've structured the deal to do our darn best to make sure that nothing could happen as a blowout. But even protecting our assets, you know, as through a preferred ownership position in a limited liability corporation, there will always be the parties that will try to pierce that corporate veil to then come back to ADA's main partner, ADA's main balance sheet. So we've tried our best to ensure through, gosh, about 1,200 pages of contracts that we have that protection.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come in the same position practically through a loan of $23.6 million, second to the term loan and before the equity, you have none of those risks because you're just a banker.
Sure.
Well, how they use the money, that's, you know, looking at the equity owners. Now, it's not to say that there aren't times where we believe that it's better to have an ownership position, whereas, for example, in your area, the Red Dog Mine, where there's more than one owner that could be using that asset, mm-hmm. the road, it's good that ADA can help be there to control fair access to that asset. But there are times in project developing, we believe that it would be better to just be a lender and be able to leverage our investment with money from a banking syndication and requiring equity by the project sponsors.
Sure. Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
As you go ahead and start to divest yourself of ownership in a project that's sizable, what does that do to your ability to get with the cash flow to make sure that the cash is being generated, for example, on the Red Dog Mine road up there,
mm-hmm.
the cash is coming across there. If you're an owner, you can have some, you can kind of have some control about what's going on with the cash flow that's being generated. If you're not an owner, it would seem like that cash flow can be squandered to a certain degree if you're not careful and can be used to mm-hmm. do other things that are irrelevant and would indeed put that whole project in the red.
Through the chair to Senator Olson. Again, this is a tool that we would like to have for specific projects like a jackup rig, or if we were in an oil pipeline or some type of resource development. We wouldn't use it for the type of project that you're looking at, like a Red Dog, because we believe that the cash flows and those type of things are taken into consideration are project specific and that ADA should be involved in ownership.
Okay.
We're just looking at a tool that we can use to help leverage more development and more investment for certain projects. Again, just another tool in the box. We're not taking away our ability to have ownership in a project. It's just one more tool that we believe that would help us leverage our capacity with private sector investment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Senator Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe on page 10, and maybe it's the next presenter that'll go into this in more detail, the paragraph ending of the paragraph, in Section 10, the first paragraph, talks about the affiliated infrastructure on the North Slope, which is a liquefaction plant, and natural gas distribution system affiliated infrastructure within the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And when you guys go through the bill, I'd like to have that addressed. Why is this bill restricted to just within the North Slope Borough?
To the chair, to Senator Stedman, Mark is definitely our lawyer and could specify and explain why that language is there.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Leonard? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Mark Davis, please come up, state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Mark Davis, Deputy Director at ADA, same agency as Mr. Leonard. If I could just go through the bill, the technicalities first, then okay. I understand there's questions. Okay. The first change is the project financing change, which was briefly discussed, and you'll see that at page, particularly 3 of the bill, which is adding the goal of project financing to the goals of ADA, which is necessary to accomplish this change. And then the substantive change occurs at page 9, which is an amendment, proposed amendment, to 4488-172A. And that's the project financing part of ADA. That money comes from our revolving fund, which has approximately $480 million in it right now. And we use that to own projects traditionally. And we were given permission, and we thanked the legislature and the governor 2 years ago, to own a portion of a project. So with the jackup rig, we don't own 100% of it, but we own part of it. Whereas with the Red Dog DeLong Mountain Transportation System, we own 100% of the port and the road. And in this proposed change now, by project financing, would mean that we could finance a project through that mezzanine tool, but we would have security. So you shouldn't confuse the fact that we're doing project financing with that we wouldn't have security in the deal, and make sure we get paid back if something doesn't go right. The reasons for project financing, as Mr. Leonard pointed out, are primarily ones of liability. If you look at the jackup rig, it's structured a lot like a loan, but because we have an ownership interest, that means potentially the authority is liable for certain liabilities, and which could come with just operation, a death on the rig or something like that. So traditionally, lenders are not liable. If you look at the large-scale Gulf tragedy with the blowout, the owners have certainly been sued and are in some difficulties, but you'll notice the banks lend on that project, and nobody goes against the banks. The banks give money, that's project financing, but they're not liable. Banks and lenders are traditionally liable only under what's called lender liability, and that's really liable to people who borrowed money and didn't know they should borrow the money, which is a very limited tort. So this would give us the ability to, again, finance more projects. It's a tool, as Mr. Leonard said, we wouldn't use it in every instance. You sometimes do want an owner project. The DeLong Mountain is an excellent example because we like that road to be available for another mine or for other uses. So our ownership means that we can keep it open. The same is true of the Skagway Ore Terminal. On the other hand, with the jackup rig, we didn't want to own the whole thing. We wanted to work with the private sector. We wanted to leverage our funds. And with project financing, you might want to leverage even further. So the idea here is to ask you for permission to give us another tool and then select the right one. The next change is very technical, and that occurs primarily on pages 7 and 8, and that has to do with the dividend. When the legislature, again, we want to thank Senator Lisa McGuire and the whole legislature last year for its passage of SB 25 and Governor Parnell's support, that set up for the first time a new fund within ADA. This is called the Sustainable Energy Transmission Fund, and it is called SETS by its acronym. It has $125 million in it, and as the bill was passed, it stated that we should pay a dividend out of the fund. Our accounting staff looked at that in retrospect and said it would be better if we delineated the ability to pay a fund out of that revolving fund I mentioned the first time, our large fund, and then pay a separate dividend to the legislature out of the smaller SETS fund. And that way, it's easier for us to track it, keep track of the money, and pay dividends as necessary. The next change on page 8 is because of the changes by the Government Accounting Standards Board. That board was put in existence in 1984, and it governs all public accounting for schools and state legislatures and state agencies. They have recently, as Mr. Leonard said, in Circular 63, changed the standards under Circular 34, which is the way of business of accounting boards, and this actually just updates it so that we're tracking the newest language so that we're in compliance. And that's, again, at the request of our accounting staff and our chief financial officer. The final issue in this bill is the one that was referenced by Senator Stedman. And I could go through, if I can, I go through an overview and then respond to the particular question, which I understand. This is Section 10 is to the uncodified law of the state, which means that it's an addendum to this bill. And it asks for some substantive legal changes and then for some money appropriations. The legal change is with regard to the SETS lending programs established last year, as I said, by SB 25. That bill appropriately has us to lend no more than one-third of the capital cost of a project without legislative approval. With this proposed development of an LNG plant on the North Slope that would truck gas to Fairbanks, we're asking for a waiver of that provision so that we could lend more than one-third to the project. And also to change the interest rate. SETS uses the standard ADA interest rate, which is now running between 5 and 6%. And we're asking here for permission, again, which is allowed by the statute, for the legislature to allow us to issue a loan at 3%. We've picked 3% in order to lower the cost of the debt service on that project so that the gas delivered to Fairbanks can be achieved at the target rate of $10.33 a BCF. And the 3% is designed to recapture our costs. It should track over a 10-year period about the cost of inflation, and that's the design. That is, we don't want to go backwards with the money we've got, but we don't need to make something on it because of the purpose is to deliver gas to Fairbanks.
Excuse me, Mr. Marks, was that BCF or MCF?
Oh, it'd be MCF. Sorry.
Thank you.
You're right. I appreciate that, in case this ever gets transcribed. So that is the two legal changes that we need to ask for SETS. So you can see it's asking for that. And then the other legal authority is bonding. We're asking for $150 million in bonding authority. The reason is quite simple. By statute, if ADA issues more than $10 million in bonds, it needs legislative approval. So this is the process of coming to the legislature to ask for approval. The bonds in this particular scenario would probably be used for the distribution system in Fairbanks area. And then if I could respond to Senator Stedman's question, the bill references the Fairbanks North Shore Borough because the design of this bill now is to provide distribution basically within the borough to the core areas and what we might call the medium areas. Eventually there might be a build out much broader than that, but we, having done a financial analysis, think that we need to concentrate on those two areas to get the project up and running, the ones that can be built out more quickly and we can get a return and where more consumers are located to sign up. So eventually over time, once the thing's in operation, you may expand it. But right now, this is a kind of a core project. What it is designed to do, unlike some other proposals, is to do the distribution of the gas at the same time you're building out the plant. And the reason, quite simply, is it's very hard to finance a distribution system if you don't have a source of gas, which has been a problem in Fairbanks. And conversely, it's a difficulty to build a gas delivery project if you don't have distribution. So the idea in this bill, as you can see, is asking for legislative permission to make a SETS loan of up to $125 million at 3% to the project. And that would probably be used for the plant, and then $150 million in bonding, which would be used to support the distribution system. The only other thing monetarily in this bill is a $50 million GF request to ADA, which would be used for the LNG plant itself. And that's designed to lower the cost of gas delivered to consumers, based on the analysis done by AEA.
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back on that question dealing with the restrictive language. I still don't understand why you'd have such a restrictive language in there when you can control, I would think, through your process, who's going to have access to the funds and at what time. If you want to concentrate, which I think is reasonable, the concentration of the public for a distribution system before you go and spread it out, you know, but – But I'm just a little bit concerned with, you know, with the verbiage on line 18 where it says infrastructure within the borough, North Stark Borough. So that's pretty definitive lines. And I would think that the folks living in and around Fairbanks, and particularly as you go south towards Anchorage, that don't have gas would be interested in getting gas as soon as they can. And we, you know, so I'm just still struggling with that concept.
Senator Stebbins, through the chair, those are good comments. First, if you'll see line 17 and 18 are referring to the distribution system, so that the restriction there is not saying that we couldn't deliver LNG gas anywhere else. And in fact, the business plan for this project, you know, would probably eventually deliver gas outside of the Fairbanks area. One example that would be is assuming that, for example, a gas pipeline was built that served Fairbanks, this is designed to be a movable LNG plant so that it could be moved to another location. It could, for example, be moved to Fairbanks and then could potentially, for example, supply LNG by truck to the proposed Ambler Mining District mines, of which three are now in the process of being developed. So the gas could be sold, but the distribution system would be within the borough. And the distribution system within the borough would be under the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and the certificates of need and would probably be issued within the borough. So I think that's the reason that language is in there. Now, we also are cognizant of being able to supply people more quickly outside the core areas, and we've estimated that the propane that would be stripped off of the LNG plant would supply about 2,200 homes. And one of our goals in working with AEA is to figure out a way to sell that propane at a reasonable rate to the homes that are outside the gas distribution system.
Senator Stedman?
This is a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, but if I was in a community south of there, right outside the borough boundaries, and I wanted a distribution system, would I be able to go then to Ada and get the same financing deal for my community if I was mayor of Timbuktu outside the borough?
Clear.
Senator Stedman, through the chair. The way this bill is worded is that the $275 million is for construction, installation, and a gas distribution system within the borough boundaries. So that if the distribution system was the cost within the $275 million and it was outside the borough, it could not qualify for that financing.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's one thing we need to look at on this bill, so it's not so focused on one community. All Alaskans have equal access to the wealth of the state, not just a particular community. And well, it's benefit to get gas to as many Alaskans as we can. So I think we should take a look at the restrictive nature of this. I don't have a problem with the concept. I just want to be a little careful with it.
Thank you. Any questions from other members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Davis, I'm just so clear, and I'm making sure that what Senator Stedman talked about is that if you're living in Clear or in Anderson or in Nenana even, you're not eligible to go ahead and be dipping into this money that's being available through ADA?
Senator Olson, the chair, no, that's not correct. We can certainly truck gas to any of those communities under the terms of the bill.
Is the infrastructure. That's what's going to cost everything.
Right.
Not too worried about getting the truck there. The truck there can run every day. I'm talking about where you're putting a laying pipe in the ground and making it to the homes of the people that are living on the river there or down the way toward the
Understand. It was to the chair. It's our view that the distribution system is probably going to be limited to what's in the borough, given the density issues in financing the distribution system. But we are exploring, with AA's help, a way to deliver LNG and propane, you know, to other communities, and how you distribute that is an issue we want to address. At the first build-out, though, of this plant, let's say it was built at the proposed 7 to 9 BCF, it is not going to be capable of distributing gas outside of the proposed distribution system and industrial users within the interior area.
The language itself, it's restricted by the word within. I mean, I understand what the senators are saying. So this particular bill is focused solely on the North Star Borough in terms of the financing. What you're referring to is a spinoff of propane or others that could be shipped to Nenana or Delta or whatever, but the actual capital focus is within the borough.
The capital folks is in the borough for the distribution. Right.
Senator Machicki?
I think it's important for committee members to understand it's a very small capacity plant. My calculations look like it's about 24 million cubic feet a day, and I believe it's designed specifically for that amount of usage. If it's built out in the future, there may be excess capacity, but originally, most likely, the Fairbanks area would be using that capacity.
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to confirm that that is the case. It's a micro, what we people would call micro plant, and it's really sized optimally to run efficiently for the anticipated demand within the distribution system in order to make money. But the plant itself could be used for other reasons in long term. And if there was more demand, our designs are calling for the ability for the plant to expand, and the requests we've made to people are to provide that expansion capability, which is what we're discussing with people. And we could go and train, I guess they call them trains, of four apiece, and that's the design parameter we put out. So it could go up to about 18 to 20 eventually. If that happened, and respond to Senator Olson's comment, then we would certainly come back to the legislature if there was a distribution system and just ask for more bonding authority. So this first bond issuance will cover the borough, and we'll get the idea is to get this up and running as quickly as possible. Our goal is 30 months, and again, that's the kind of the design you see in this bill is for a 30-month program, is to get it up and running fast. Now, once you've monetized some of the gas from the North Slope, and once you started to truck it, if there's further demand, we would very much welcome that.
Questions for members of the committee?
Actually,
Senator Olson?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, thank you. As we look at some of the lending, as we look at the money that's being let out, you say it's going to be out there instead of at the regular rate of 5 to 6%, which is the average of what you're normally up to, you're down to 3%, which, as you talked about, it barely keeps up with inflation at that rate, which essentially you're giving free money away to this project. I guess, would you not agree?
Senator Olson, I would not agree because a loan's a loan. You've got to pay back the money.
Oh, I understand that.
Free money is when I get it and I say thanks and
but
leave.
I guess my comment has to do with ADA's not getting any surplus into their revolving loan fund. They're not increasing it. But here's my real question. Coming from the private sector, I sometimes get incensed when the government starts giving customers preferred status out there. And I guess what's the stance of some of these commercial lending institutions that are out there that are places that I have my money in that's supposed to be giving me back some interest on my savings account? What is their stance on what you're going to be doing here? Are they opposed to it? Are they neutral? Are they for it? Or
what? Senator Olson, the chair, we have some issues with the public records request, so I just talk generically, but we have a letter of interest from a consortium of banks, some of which are local, that would lend on this project.
That would lend on the project.
Right, and this project is designed to work with the private sector. It will need an equity infusion, and in fact, you know, ADA's whole, as you can see with the direct project financing, we're trying to work with banks. Our loan participation program works directly with them day in and day out. It's one of the biggest parts of our operation. And the one-third limit in sets that we only lend one-third of the capital cost is designed to make sure that we get other lending in there, particularly from banks. And in this situation, we purposely have not asked for the full amount necessary to look for that. And, in fact, we have a consortium that's interested.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
To the Chair, to Senator Olson, one thing to remember, and especially on the $150 million bond authority, that is based on a market rate plus 25 basis points for ADA to run those bonds and work with the project. So there is a $125 million set at 3%. In actuality, market for long-term rates right now on the bonds are projected to be in the 2.88 to 3% range too. And that's part of how that 3% range was discussed. And ADA has in the past, with the legislator's approval, given a kickstart to projects with a lower interest rate, lower fixed interest rate. In fact, if you look at the Red Dog Mine going back into history again, the rate we got was 6.3% that we charged for that mine, and rates during that time were going up to 8% and 9%. So I think where we're looking with the governor's package is that interior Alaska and rural Alaska are crying for solutions to provide energy relief or relief in the cost, and that we believe that this fixed rate through the sets would help that. And again, as the legislature believes, if there's more distribution systems that ADA should be involved in, or the legislature believes that ADA should be involved in, these set tools are there that can be used as we go through this project. As Senator McChicky said, expanding the project that can be used.
Senator McChicky.
Yeah, I just philosophically, ADA and sets exist to reduce residual lending risk for projects that may not normally be commercially competitive. And it's for projects that are of value to Alaskans that may not normally compete. Is that sort of a good synopsis of ADA and sets?
So, Mr. Chair, I think it is. Essentially, ADA is rather unique. There are approximately 44 development agencies in the United States, and most of them make relatively small loans. They're usually capped at about $2 to $4 million. And most of them don't invest in projects. One identification in ADA when it was started was the lack of infrastructure in the state. So our focus is really on at infrastructure development to try to help Alaska with that, get our natural resources developed, which is this one of them. But again, we like to work with the financial institutions, and that's why our loan participation program, which is one of the only ones in the United States, we actually put money in with the banks on those loans. That makes us unique. They're not guaranteed. I mean, both of us are partners. You know, they put in cash. We put in cash, the bank services the loan, and we work with the banks. One thing SETS did, just as an aside, to understand our philosophy, is that SETS made our loan participation program work for energy. And we're now talking a lot to the banks about doing energy loans in a traditional lending scenario, which is one of our preferred ways to operate.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the committee? I've got just a clarification. So this is a Fairbanks-specific, excuse me, North Star Borough-specific directed bill, because of the words within. It's within the confines of the North Star Borough. So if this model wanted to be used in the future, we'd have to alter the language.
You're correct with regard to distribution. The bill would allow the LNG plant to sell gas anywhere in the state, and we envision that that could happen if Fairbanks get another source of supply, or if someone wanted to expand the plant, which takes money and a financial plan, but if somebody wanted to, then we could sell the gas. But the distribution is limited. This is designed to deal with certain issues that are now affecting Fairbanks. It's designed to be a fast-track plan.
Thank you. Senator McChicky.
Just to clarify further, distribution in this case would be the smaller diameter pipelines that go from the transmission line to the home.
Senator McChicky, you're absolutely correct.
Thank you. We've got other folks that are going to be testifying. Thank you very much. I believe we have online Nick Szymaniak with the Alaska Energy Authority. Is there any questions of the committee for we have online? Is
yes, this is Nick Szymaniak with the Alaska Energy Authority. Mr. Chair, I was just online in case Mr. Davis or Mr. Leonard had any questions.
Thank you. And I think the same with is this true with Gene Terrio with the Energy Authority as well? And then Jim Stratton.
Yes, Chairman, I am here. If I could perhaps with your approval just respond to some of the discussion that just took place with regard to the very specific Fairbanks North Star Borough language.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, I think part of the reason that language is in there is a recognition that in order to get the product flowing in the state of Alaska, we needed to make sure that there was enough demand aggregated to justify the building of the plant. And so within the interior, growing out the existing distributions to a larger part of the borough was the way that we were going to get, again, the demand that would be sort of the anchor for the plant. The governor has been fairly clear in public statements, though, that he sees the plant ultimately being an asset for a much larger geographic area of the state once, again, you get the operation up and running. Also, with regards to whether distribution would be able to be built in Leanna or Delta Junction or some other community down the highway system, although this language attached to the additional endowment or capitalization of the SETS fund is tagged specifically to that distribution system in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, I think I would encourage the committee members not to lose sight of the fact that the SETS fund has an additional $125 million in it that any entity could come and make application to for the build-out of energy infrastructure. And so, as an example, the city of Nenana may determine that they would like to get access, or they're prepared to get access to the LNG that's now flowing off of the North Slope plant. They would be able to come to ADA, I believe, and make an application under the set lending mechanism that is separately capitalized with the $125 million that was set aside last year for the build-out of that that language. And that could take place without having to go back in and modify the language of this bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Theriault? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Theriault, you've been on both sides of the issue here, where you're now working for the entity that you are, as well as being here in the Senate. And we're talking about distribution that are mainly has been looking down the road or up the road toward Delta and down toward Anchorage. What kind of plans do you see for smaller communities down the river, for example, Nenana or Galena, for trying to go ahead and tap into some of these resources that are there, both financial and otherwise? And more importantly, when you do have smaller communities like Nulato or Ruby that don't have the ability to go ahead and participate in some of these programs, or don't have the grant writers or the bureaucrats essentially there to put the people work.
Senator Olson's audio was breaking up, but I think I understood his question. If it was what capabilities or provisions have been contemplated for distribution of the energy and the more rural setting, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. What do you envision is going to be happening in 5 or 10 years to the people in Tanana, Galena, Ruby, and Nulato?
Well, I know there have been expressions of interest, and there are individuals or entities that are sort of tracking the development of this infrastructure that are very much interested in understanding what the ultimate delivered price would be and whether the economics would work out for delivery and usage in more rural settings. Initially, certainly, smaller communities that are connected via road or could be served with a short haul on a river system would be the most likely the quickest to avail themselves of the resource. But again, I think it gets back to the concept from the administration that until we get the product flowing, there really is nothing for them to move towards accessing. And it's that the volume operation of bringing it into interior Alaska that hopefully gets the price down low enough so that that those rural settings would be able to afford to get it out for their use.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, one other issue I know was talked about a little bit, that there will be a propane stream off of this facility. And just to clarify, because I have picked up a little bit of confusion as far as the ability of the plant, roughly 2% of the raw gas that comes into the plant for processing is propane. And so as the volume of your LNG plant ramps up and down, then that 2% propane volume also ramps up and down. There have been some people, I think, in the past that have misunderstood and thought that the plant actually produced propane. What it actually does is just separate out the propane that is present.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Theriault? Seeing none, we have online Jim Strandberg from ADA as well. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Strandberg? Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Jim Strandberg. Just for the record, I am the ADA project manager, and I am available for questions.
Thank you. Seeing no questions or any comments from the board at this point, we're going to set this bill aside for further study.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, and if I could just ask a question of either Mr. Davis or Mr. Leonard, having to do with, as you're going to be trucking gas down from the North Slope, Obviously, there are towns along the way that are along the Dalton Highway, like Wiseman. Are there any provisions to provide either the 2% propane that Mr. Terrio talked about to provide energy relief for those small communities that are there?
For the record, again, this is Mr. Davis with Ada, and actually I'd like to ask Mr. Terrio to answer that question. As I said, this is a joint venture between Ada and AEA, and they've been focused on those issues.
So who would you like to have answer that?
Mr. Terrio, if you could.
Mr. Terrio, can you answer that question, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, as the trucks come down the road, you know, the smaller communities there, if they want to avail themselves of the product, I believe the project team would be very much interested in understanding which product they're interested in and what the volumes would be, and so we can hopefully incorporate that into the overall operation so that we know the capacity is there to serve their needs.
Does that answer your question?
Actually, Mr. Terrio, as you look at some of the, there's no distribution there in Wiseman, though, so how do they access? You can have the gas there, but you don't have the distribution to go ahead and have that out there. How do you justify that?
Through the chair to the senator's question, certainly the energy needs in Wiseman are fairly modest. If you were serving the energy needs with propane, of course, the you know, that's in bottles. That people can come and get a tank filled for their individual residence fairly easily. If it was to use LNG, the senator is correct that you would most likely site a small storage tank at the powerhouse for the community, where there is that sort of continual need. So any of the boil off that comes off of a storage tank or the thermos bottle would be used by the powerhouse. And then you could potentially have a small-scale piped distribution system to serve the rest of the residential needs. You would certainly have to look at the economics of building that system compared to the volume that you would be serving. But that's all an economic calculation that the community can do, and actually Ada AEA can help people with those calculations.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
Mr. Terrio, as you look at taking off the 2% of the 2% from the LNG, which is going to be propane, that's going to be done up on the north
Let's
slope.
See if.
And how do you plan on trucking that down differently than in the LNG trucks?
Through the chair, to the senator's question, that would be hauled in separate propane trucks. Certainly don't need in fact, the technology, the storage vessels are quite a bit different for the different product, but we certainly understand and have been shipping propane in volumes certainly for decades.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
So when the mayor of Wiseman comes to me and says, you got energy gas coming down the road, when can I expect he can have it take delivery of his first shipment?
I would encourage him to be in charge or in touch with either myself or Mr. Strandberg, the project lead here with the combined AEA ADA team. And we certainly want to know who wants to get access and whether the delivered price would be something that will work for their local economics.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Michicki.
Mr. Terrio, quick question for you through the chair. Just due to the seasonal challenges of LNG and the ability to deliver on frozen rivers, would I be correct in assuming that up and down river communities not on the river system would be limited to propane?
Mr. Chairman, to the senator's question, we have had presentations here by different vendors, both to AEA and the ADA side, of developing technology with regards to ISO containers for LNG. You know, my sense is that the technology is developing fairly rapidly as more and more of the nation tries to get access to what they feel is a cleaner and cheaper source of energy. So right now, I think it would be a challenge, but that technology is developing fairly rapidly.
Thank you. Any other additional questions for members of the committee? Seeing none, we're once again going to put the bill aside for further study. And on Thursday, we have SB 16, which is relating to the boards of registered architects, engineers, and land surveyors, and SB 38, we'll hear that as well. And that extends the state's medical board. And with that, I want to thank you, and we are adjourned.